So, are all religions the same? Many people believe basically that all religions are the same. Majority of the people believe that all religions are the same. They believe that there are, of course, different cultures in the world. And according to the culture, all countries have a religion according to that culture. And many of them agree religions are good because they teach good moral values. What really matters is to be a good person. And to be a good person in a society, because it's going to benefit other people, and religion can immensely help in accomplishing that task. So if you're a Christian, a Muslim, or a Hindu, or a Buddhist, it does not matter as long as the principles of religions will help you to make that better person. So even some goes on to say that all religions have the same God, but deals with them according to their culture. So it doesn't matter. It's the same God, but according to culture, they have different concepts and so forth like that. And all religions are good. They don't teach bad, evil stuff or anything like that. It basically teaches good moral values. So what's wrong with it? And now this sounds so good, and many believe it. So if you are one of these people who believes in this concept, there is a problem. And I want to show you very honestly, the problem is not a minor problem, but it's a major, big problem. And you might ask, what is it? The problem has to do with Jesus. That is it. The problem has to do with Jesus. Many would say, oh no, we believe in Jesus. He's a good teacher. He's a good prophet. He's a good man. My question is, do you think that Jesus ever lied? And many would say, of course not. Jesus didn't lie. Because good teachers won't lie, do they? No. Jesus, he is more like all other religious leaders, you might say. They don't lie, but Jesus taught good moral values. And some might say, so does all the other religious teachers. Also good taught good moral values. But I'm going to explain the problem. Jesus believed there is only one God. In the Bible, in Mark chapter 12, verse 32 says, right, here in the Bible, there's a scribe, chapter 12, verse 32, it says, a scribe said to him, well said, teacher, this is speaking to Jesus, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. Of course, the scribe agreed what Jesus has said, there is only one true God. So this is exactly, Jesus never rebuked him for that. Now, the problem is, the Hindus believe and worship many gods. Buddhism is a branch of Hinduism. We can call it Buddhism. It's a cult of Hinduism. They also believed in many gods. Hinduism believes in polytheism. Okay, polytheism, poly means many. Okay, in polytheism is many, millions of gods they believe in. But they deny the existence of one living God who created the heavens and the earth. Now, Christianity is a monotheistic religion. Mono means one. They believe in one God. Jesus believed in one creator, living God. Hinduism and Buddhism deny that. Have you heard of a person by the name of Dalai Lama? He rejects the existence of a creator God. The problem is not a minor one. The problem is a huge problem. It's like black and white. It's not a small problem and saying we are all the same. It's one God and it doesn't matter what religion you believe. The problem is a major one because Buddhism and Hinduism and many other religions are saying there are many gods. And they truly believe it and they live for it. But Christianity is saying no. Jesus said no. There is only one God. Well, this is a big problem. So, this is the major problem. So here we see Hinduism, Buddhism clash with Christianity and also with Judaism and Islam. They believe in one God. So now, both cannot be true. Okay? If Hinduism and Buddhism and some other major religions are saying there are many gods, Jesus is saying there's only one God, according to Christianity, both cannot be true. Either, one is telling the truth and the other one is lying. Basically, that's it. So, here we have a major problem there. Now, the next problem, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. Now, Jesus did not say, I am one of the ways to God. Okay, there are many ways you can come to God, but I am one of the ways. No, he did not say that. He said, I am the way. And also, Jesus said, I am the way and the life. I am the way and the truth. Okay? He did not say, I am the truth of many truths. There are many truths, but I am one of the truths. No, he did not say that. He said, I am the way and the truth. But no one can come to God except through him. Now, do you believe that Jesus is a good teacher? Good teachers don't lie. Jesus is basically claiming that there is only one way to God or to heaven, and that's only through him. Jesus is posing a major problem to all the religions of the world. He is telling the truth and others are not. Or Jesus is lying. And all the other religions are right. So this is it's a very basic, cut and clear, black and white. Either one is telling the truth, or the others are lying. In Islam, the teacher is Muhammad. Jesus is telling it is not Muhammad. It's not through Muhammad the way to God, but only through him. That's what he's saying. In Hinduism, there are many gods. And he's saying, no, it's not through God. It's not their teachers or millions of gods that you can come to one Brahma, creator God. No, not that way. It's only through Jesus. So in Buddhism, you gave Buddha. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not through Buddha you can come to a God. Or you can attain Nirvana No, it's not Nirvana. It's eternal life. Only you can come to God is through Jesus Christ. He is the way. So Jesus is telling basically, and all the other religions are wrong. That's it. And he is telling the truth. The crux of the matter is,
As I say, either Jesus is lying here or he's telling the truth. Either he is lying or he's a very good liar or he is absolutely telling the truth. So we cannot say that he is a good teacher if he is lying. Yet does not believe, yet you cannot say, oh, he's a good teacher. But still you cannot say, oh, but I don't believe when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So how can you say, I don't believe that, or I don't believe when Jesus said there's only one God, but he's a good teacher? Doesn't make sense. Got to be honest, open to logic. 1 + 1 = 2. Basically, that's it. It's very basic. Now, without a shadow of a doubt, I believe Jesus is telling the truth. And I believe that all the other religions are basically, to tell the truth, is lying. Now, look at all the other religions, their leaders, and compare them to Jesus. There's a significant difference when you compare all the other religious leaders and compare them to Jesus. The first difference is, in all the other religions, their teachings comes first. And the teacher is in the background. The teachings is in the foreground, in the forefront. It is the teachings of Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam. They believe that is their teachings. But the teacher is in the background. In Christianity, it's just the opposite. In Christianity, the teacher comes first. It is the teacher that counts. He is not in the background. He is right in front. This is the major difference. It is who the teacher is. Who do you believe that Christ is? That is the difference. So, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. John 10:30. That means he is in one. When he said, I and my Father are one, that means one in essence, one in nature. This is a big difference when you compare to all the other religions. Now, this is why, basically, why Jesus was crucified. Because he claimed to be divine. He claimed to be God who came in flesh as a Savior. And let us take a little peep on the scene of crucifixion in Matthew chapter 26, verse 63. High priest, Matthew 26:63, is saying, but Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. This is under oath. I want you to tell the truth. If you are by the living God, whether you are the Christ and the Son of God. Jesus answered very simply. Verse 64. He said, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest, he tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, you have heard of his blasphemy. Now, what do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. You know, the word Son of God has a very significant meaning. It means a divine person. It means a divine person. It means God coming in flesh. And the Son of God, this Messiah, this divine person, was predicted by the prophets in the Old Testament so many hundreds and hundreds or thousands of years ago. He is the Messiah or the Christ, the Savior, the King, the Lord. Now, here we see how Jesus answered the question, and they all got mad and said, "This is blasphemy." Blasphemy means Jesus claimed to be God. Yeah. So here we see Jesus is telling the truth. And now I'm going to show you some other things that is so important to show that Christianity is right and all the other religions are wrong. Right? First, we saw basically that in Christianity, Jesus is the one that poses a big problem here for all the other religions. Now, the predictions of a coming Savior. You know, there are over 300 prophecies predicted in the Old Testament that are literally fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Tell me, any predictions of any other religions, of their leaders? Can't find one. You can. Go to the scriptures of Buddhism and find how Buddha is going to be born and what city. Can't find. Or Muhammad. Or any other religious leader. You can't find anything. But here in Christianity, I mean, there's so many prophecies that was predicted in the Old in the Bible, in the Old Testament. We are talking 800, 1,000 years ago before Jesus was born. Literally fulfilled by Jesus. Now, I'm going to show you just very basic ones. Just a few. If you turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Remember, Isaiah the prophet lived about 800 years before Jesus was born. Okay? So this was written by a prophet who was 800 years before Jesus was born, and God spoke to him and said through this prophet, verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Wow! What a prophecy! God himself is going to give you a son, and a virgin is going to bear a son. How can a virgin can have a son? That's impossible! And his name is going to be called Emmanuel. This is 800 years before Jesus was even born. Now look to the fulfillment. Luke chapter 1 verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled, and saying, 'Consider what manner of greeting is this, what manner of greeting this was.' The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.'" Wow. Mary, a virgin. God brought forth his son through a virgin. It was predicted in the Bible, and it literally happened. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 1 verse 22, starting from let's see verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and wanting to make her public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Let's go to verse 18, I'm sorry. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So here Mary was pregnant. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her public example, was minded to put away secretly. Here, Joseph found Mary pregnant. And he thought, how can she get pregnant unless she had some kind of relationship with another man? Being a just man, a good man, Joseph wanted to just divorce her, kind of in a secret way. Because he doesn't want, you know, he thought she has committed some kind of immorality here. So verse 20 says, but while he thought about these things, of course, that will bring a lot of problems to a person if you are engaged to be married to somebody, right? So he was thinking about these things. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Means the son that is been in her womb is not from another man or another relationship. It is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21 says, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord before the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name, what? Emmanuel. Which is translated, well, the word Emmanuel means God with us. Wow, God with us! That is the Son of God. God took human flesh, or God clothed human flesh, and he was with us. Amazing. And again, we see the prophet Isaiah about 800 years before the birth of Christ. Isaiah predicted the death of Christ. As he was a reporter at the scene of Christ, just like that, he saw the death of Christ. God showed Isaiah how he's going to die. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53, we'll see verse 5. Isaiah 53 says, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Now, in the Old Testament, the capital punishment was what? A stoning a person to death. That is the capital punishment in the Old Testament. But here Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament predicting Christ was not going to be stoned, but he is going to be pierced. During that time, when Isaiah wrote this, 800 years before Christ, there was no crucifixion in the Old Testament. The punishment was stoning. But Isaiah, even he was so accurately predicted Christ was going to be pierced, crucified. Wow, that's amazing. Tell me, any religious leader, how their death was going to be. And they predicted how they are going to die. Now, look at the following scripture again by Isaiah, Isaiah 50, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 says, I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Wow, Again, about 800 years before, Isaiah is predicting how Jesus, how they are going to mock him, how they are going to spit at him. Now, look at the fulfillment. Turn with me to Mark chapter 14, verse 65. This is after about 800 years later, the fulfillment. Mark 14, 65. Chapter 14, 65. Here we see, then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say, prophesy. The officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Wow. He was spit. He was beaten. He was mocked. And you find a lot of scriptures in the New Testament. And amazingly, it's so accurate, so vivid. It's detailed. You know, in the crucifixion, Jesus, his hands and his feet were crucified. Right? So, thousands of years before even the birth of Jesus Christ, the psalmist predicted this. If you turn with me to Psalm chapter 22, verse 16. Psalm 22:16. Says here, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they have pierced my hands and my feet. Wow! They have pierced my hands and my feet. That was the crucifixion. His hands and his feet were pierced. Then he says, I may tell my bones, they look and stare upon me. Now, none of his bones were broken. Then he says, verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Now let us see the fulfillment of this. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 15, verse 24. 24 says, when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots to determine what every man should take. Wow. Amazing. Now, the other one that poses a major problem, big, major, major problem to all the other religions, to say that Jesus is the true Messiah, the true Savior, He is the only way to God, that He is telling the truth, is because of His resurrection. You can go to all the other religious leaders, Muhammad's grave, Buddha's grave, or any other religious leader, where they believe that their religion is telling the truth, or some people believe they are all the same, or whatever, go to their grave and see that their body is occupied. But go to the grave of Jesus. It's empty. He's not there anymore. This is where Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, he said, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. And your faith is also vain. What Paul is saying is, if Christ did not rise from the dead, why preach Christianity? You can pick, you know, you can toss a coin and pick whatever religion you want. Then your faith is going to be a dead faith because you're trusting in a dead person who died. What Paul is saying is, we have a living Savior. And our faith is not a dead faith, it's not a blind faith, it's an intelligent faith. That is, this faith is based upon a living person who is alive. And Paul is saying, he even uses witnesses. Now in a courtroom, to prove a point, what do you need? Witnesses. Do you have any witnesses? Now Paul, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 15, 5. From verse 4, let's go. That he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, or meaning Peter, then by the 12, and that he was seen by over how many people? 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to be present, but some have fallen asleep. Paul is saying, now, if you don't believe that Christ has not risen from the dead, there are 500 people, witnesses, who saw, go and ask them. We are witnesses. That's what Paul is saying here. There was an English journalist by the name of Frank Morrison who did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He wasn't a Christian. And he wanted to write a book to show the book with facts, to show that Christ did not rise from the dead, and publish this book so the whole world can read and see that Christianity search, because he wanted facts. So he did research. Well, after his research, he became a Christian. He could not prove that Christ did not rise from the dead. Now, actually this book is available today if anybody wants to buy. It's called Who Moved the Stone by Frank Morrison. You can get it at Amazon for $8.79 a paperback. And he goes on to say, all the authorities, what they had to do was to produce the body of Jesus. That's why. Everybody was against Jesus. The whole world was against Jesus. And when he rose from the dead, right? They said, he didn't rise from the dead. All the people, the scribes, many Jews and the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were against the resurrection of Jesus. They didn't believe that. And a lot of people think that they stole, the disciples stole the body, or somebody else stole the body, and so forth like that. What they really had to do to the whole world to prove it was to just produce the body of Jesus. Here, he is. How come they didn't do it? They cannot find it. Because Jesus is alive. Nobody can do it. So this is a real good book to read. Here's a man who did not believe in Christ at all, who was going to show the world that Christianity is not true. But at the end, he became a Christian. Now, the book of Psalm chapter 16 predicted that Christ, his soul, cannot be in the grave. In Psalm 16, verse 10, this was about thousands of years ago, the psalmist said, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Wow! His soul cannot be in grave. Because the reason is, Jesus never sinned. If you had never sinned, you cannot literally die. He was perfect. He had to rise from the dead. Because he is the Messiah. Now, the apostles were martyred for telling the truth. Except Apostle John, who had a natural birth. We know that Peter was so scared of death, he denied Jesus 3 times, right? You know how Peter was killed? He was crucified upside down. When they were going to crucify Peter, Peter said, "I don't want to be crucified like how my Lord was crucified. Crucify me upside down." And many of them were tortured. And many of them, apostles, they believed that, not Apostle John, Apostle Thomas, even he went up to India and he was able to convert some people in India, but he was totally butchered. So many of the apostles were tortured, they were persecuted. And here we see, who would die for a lie?
who would die for a lie?
And they were killed, tortured. The reason is they knew the truth. You cannot die unless you are telling the truth. So, lastly, all the other religions, their leaders are dead. You cannot have fellowship with them. You cannot have a fellowship with a dead person, can you? Only, you know, we have fellowship with live people, right? And after you die, they're gone. You cannot do anything. You have just memories, that's all. You can see the picture, you can talk about them, but you cannot have a fellowship with that person. This is the difference between Christianity and all the other religions. Jesus is alive. And the difference is all the other religions and Christianity is that in Christianity you can have a fellowship because the Savior is alive. Meaning you can have a relationship with Him, with a living Savior. And all the other religions is just a religion. That's it. It's just a religion. And look at what Apostle John said. If you turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. It says here, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, this is talking about Jesus, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Meaning, it's not word of dead. It's word of life. He's alive. It's meaning it's not somebody who gave a good teaching and he died. That's it. No, absolutely not. Remember, when Jesus was crucified, apostles had the worst time they had is for 3 days without him. And Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, and after the crucifixion, it says in the Bible that Peter wept bitterly. He regretted, he realized, because Jesus told Peter, Jesus prophesied to Peter saying, you are going to deny me 3 times. And the rooster is going to crow 3 times. And I'll tell you, just like that, Peter denied Jesus. And then Jesus looked at Peter. And Peter went and wept and wept and wept. He wept bitterly. And Peter was going through heavy duty repentance here. His heart was so heavy. After the resurrection, Jesus told Mary, when he rose from the dead, go and tell Peter that I am alive. Because he knew that Peter was hurting. I'll tell you, when Peter and John heard that he has risen from the dead, I tell you, they ran. As fast as he can. And Peter ran so fast, he even owed John. Because he was so excited. And here, John is saying, we have heard, we have seen, we have touched him. Then he says, the life, verse 2, the life was manifested, and we have seen, and weep, and bear witness. Hey, we are witnesses of this. Tell me any other religion that somebody is saying, we are witnesses of Muhammad or Buddha. Then he says, we declare to you the eternal life which was the Father and was manifested to us. Tell me any other religion that declares eternal life. It's just a religion. Then verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have what? Fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Wow. Amazing. That's why Christianity, there's a joy. How come a lot of people can't understand these Christians? They're always happy. Even when they are going through some problems, still they are happy. How come they are rejoicing? How come they are hugging each other? How come they are different? Here it is. We have a living Savior. We have a real fellowship. We have a real relationship, a true relationship, because there is joy. It's not a dead religion. That's why in a dead religion, you will see the faces are dark. There's no joy. It's a dead religion. Their saviors are dead. But in Christianity, we have a living Savior, a living relationship. We are not praying to just to empty air. We are praying to a person, a real person, just like you talk to a person live. That is the difference. Now, remember, there was one person out of all the apostles who did not believe that Jesus did rise from the dead. His name was Thomas. And Thomas said, I'm not going to... Hey, I know, you guys believe because you said that you saw him, but I did not see him. I'm not going to believe until I really see that his hands... I want to touch his hands and see, because he was crucified, right? So turn with me to John chapter 20, verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. That when Jesus, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples, but Thomas was not with them at that time, okay? The other disciples therefore said to him, he told Thomas, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, then Thomas said, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Wow. This guy, he wanted to see the real fact. You want to see, I will not believe. I don't care what you say, I'm not going to believe. I wanted to see and I want to touch him. I want to make sure that he has risen from the dead. Then, verse 26 says, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. And Thomas with them. This time, Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Now, the doors were shut. But Jesus just came, appeared to them. How can he come when the doors were shut? This is what happens when you have a resurrected body. It's not an earthly body anymore. Earthly body is limited to space. We cannot go through doors. But he had a heavenly body. He can appear and disappear at his own will. And here, Jesus appeared to them and said, peace to you. Verse 27, he said to Thomas. Directly he spoke to Thomas and said, what did he say? Reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. Wow. I'll tell you, Thomas was so amazed when Jesus spoke to him so personally on that issue. I mean, so first thing that came to Thomas was verse 28, and Thomas answers and said to him, my Lord and my God. Wow. He worshipped Jesus as Lord and God. Now, this is not what is a lot of people today say, oh my God. No, it's not that, okay? No, it's not that. What he said was, my Lord and my God. Thomas worshipped him as God. Jesus did not rebuke Thomas and say, hey Thomas, no, don't ever do that. Don't say God to me. He accepted that worship. Then verse 29 says, Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Wow. That is you and me and all the other Christians. Because we believe, truly believe, that Jesus has risen from the dead. Because this Bible says so. And we saw through prophecy that through the Word of God and through everything else, that what if Jesus is said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. You know, Jesus is telling the truth and others are not. And we know that because of his resurrection. And so the resurrection put a seal on the Bible and said the truth. Resurrection is the one who puts a seal. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then of course we have a, it's doubt. It's a doubting religion, Christianity. But the resurrection put the seal and said, confirmed. It is truth. It is the truth. Now, let me ask you something. Why is it that people who love to attack Christianity, but not Hinduism? Have anybody heard that somebody really trying to tear apart Hinduism?
No.
Have you ever heard that somebody is really trying to criticize Buddhism? No. Why? Why is it that the Bible is the one everybody wants to come against Christianity? Why is it the Bibles were burned? Have you ever heard that somebody burning the Vedas, Hindu scriptures, or the Quran, all the hundreds of Qurans were burnt, you know? You don't hear. They don't care about those things. Why is it that Christians are being martyred in history? You see that they were crucified, tortured, and burned. About 500 reformers were burned to death, including children. Why? Even now, even as we are speaking, many Christians are being persecuted for their faith, other parts of the world. And some are being killed and tortured. Why? Never think about that. Because we know the reason. The reason is that you are telling the truth. This is the truth. Truth is always being attacked. The Bible, the more Christians they killed, the more Christians, the more people became Christians. The more Bibles they burned, the more Bibles they printed. Because God, you cannot stop a living God. He is going to win. We have read the Bible from the beginning to the end, and we can triumphantly say, victoriously say, God has won. He is a winner. And that's why we see that Christianity is the only true way to God. All the other religions is man trying to seek God with their good works. In Christianity, God came from heaven to save those who were gods. That's the difference. It's God coming down from heaven, not man reaching out to God. That's the difference. And we see, and I really challenge you to read the Bible. You know, read the Bible. There's nothing wrong reading a Bible. And read it. And start from the New Testament a little bit. And read it and see what Jesus had to say. And see that he, either he's lying or he's telling the truth. Cannot both be true.